Our text for this morning is from Micah. We used it as a backdrop last week as well. And this passage everyone knows almost by heart because it stands probably at the head of all the prophetic statements that have been made that apply across the board, whether we're talking about generations or cultures or ethnicities or even religions. In fact, I found the very kind of statement, the very similar one, in the Quran the other day, saying the very same thing. Different words, but the very same thought. I think what's important about this reading is that historically, when Micah spoke these words, he was speaking on God's behalf to a community that had lost sight of perhaps the most important things about life. They were so engaged in their everyday living that they lost sight of where God fits in. But not only that, they were used to behaving in certain ways to the point where they had become completely disoriented as far as what their behavior might be if they truly did have God in their lives. And so Micah's making it very, very clear here that what God really looks for is something beyond the behavior, beyond just perhaps paying the piper, so to speak, and doing whatever we choose within, but actually to go within ourselves and to recognize there that the change that we expect in the world needs to begin somewhere within ourselves, in light of what David suggested earlier, and things that we don't like to talk about, but things certainly that are surrounding us every day. These words might be very appropriate. God reminds the people to begin with that, remember how I took you from the desert and from slavery into a land of freedom, and how I gave you leaders who modeled for you the way that I suggest you live. And so you say, from God's point, what have I done to you that would bring about this kind of behavior? How have I somehow put you in a bad place because what you're doing is not really appropriate? And so God says through the prophet, so you ask, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but simply to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. The word of the Lord. So much of Judaism as a way of life really covers the behavior of all those who call themselves believers in God. And Judaism spells out very, very clearly what God expects at every phase of our lives. In fact, in all of our duties every day, our occupations every day, the practices that we do in our homes, all of it is covered because God made it very, very clear through the prophets and through those who interpreted the words of the prophets how you are supposed to live. The problem is always, just as it is for every other religion, including where I came from and my roots, it becomes very easy to do the things that we are required to do in order to be seen as people who have faith. From the time I was a child, I learned that certain prayers need to be said every day. I learned as a child that I need to be caring about other people. I knew it wasn't good to swear or do bad things. It was not okay to steal or somehow desire things that I did not have and feel envious of those who had better than I. I learned that the most important thing somehow was to learn what the meaning of love was and extend that in every facet of my life. And when all else failed, which it usually did in my life, There was always confession on Saturdays where you could go and be cleansed over and start all over again, brand new, like nothing else happened before. The problem with that whole system and the problem with every system is that the system prepares us to keep the system going. The system never brings us down to a place where we go inside and realize that what matters in our lives is who we are here, not so much what is out here. Because it is very easy to be what people expect me to be. I was a very good Catholic boy. But that didn't say anything about who I was. It had nothing to do with my identity as a person. It had everything to do with convincing myself intellectually and somehow with the bravos of the world around me that I was doing it well, that everything was good with me and God. And unfortunately, that's not where ever religion should be. And if there's a change that needs to take place in the 21st century, it is that one. Some people have found their way to it, but as a whole. Maybe the movement of people staying away from churches is the beginning of that, because when you stay away from places like this, you have to look elsewhere, and maybe, just maybe, people will find their way to go inside and begin to deal with the real issues. I like these words of Micah, but I think we should deal with them in reverse order. Instead of doing justice and loving kindness, let's begin with walking humbly with God. Just in analyzing myself and reflecting on my own life, I realize that unless and until I recognize who I really am in the eyes of God, then I don't really know myself when I'm playing a game. As so many have said before, my grandson uses this phrase a lot, it's a fool's errand to try to think that I've done well in God if indeed I haven't gone there and look at how God sees me. And God sees me probably better than I see myself, if we believe in that kind of a God. But even if we don't go there and say, God, who am I really? When I look in the mirror, who do I see? Sometimes I see somebody that I don't even know, because there are things that I do that really don't reflect who's going on inside of me, what really are the important things in my life, because for some reason I choose to become somebody else, even for a moment, maybe to lash out at somebody when I wouldn't normally do that, or make a judgment about somebody when, of course, that's something that violates my own sensitivities. But those kinds of behaviors indicate something about me. When I look in the mirror, do I really see the person that God created? Does anybody ever see the person that God created when we look at ourselves? I don't mean that as a rhetorical question. I think that's a very fair question. Do we really see ourselves as God created us? In order to come to that conclusion, I have to figure out, how did I arrive at who I am? How do I define myself? And you know, most of us, from a psychological and intellectual perspective, most of us find ourselves and identify ourselves by all the things we either have accomplished or all the things that we have failed to be in other people's eyes. I can't possibly be lovable if somebody over here told me as a child that I was not lovable. Whether it's years of a parent who didn't accept me, or the struggles that I saw in the family that put me in a compromising position, whatever it happened to be, sometimes we never really see ourselves because of those things. And those things don't go away. We may avoid them. We may choose not to recreate them. But they never, ever, ever go away. They're part of our identity. So when I look at myself, do I really see myself as I am? That's why we have to go to doing kindness, loving kindness. Because unless we can look at ourselves through the glass, through the focal lens of kindness, we can't be kind to the rest of the world. There's so much that is done in the name of kindness that is superficial, because it really doesn't come from here. It comes from someplace up here for whatever reason. We do good things because it helps me get a position, I get some recognition, blah, 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 blah. If I cannot be kind to myself, if I cannot be gentle with myself, if I cannot be fair with myself, I cannot really love kindness. And the kindness that I do express really is a falsehood, because it doesn't reflect who I am. And what does kindness to myself mean? It means that I can look at myself and recognize that I am a human being who has flaws, who is not perfect, who is never always correct, who doesn't always know the answer, who sometimes fails, who sometimes makes a mess out of something. I'm the person, through kindness, that can look at my past mistakes and forgive them and seek healing. When I'm kind to myself, I can look at myself and recognize that the things that happen to me do not define who I am. The things that occur in anyone's life is not the end of a definition of who I am. And then, to do justice. Brothers and sisters, doing justice is the most challenging thing that we ever are expected to do. Justice means, in its root, I am able to identify with you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your need, however you present yourself, whatever our difference is, there's room for you in my life. There was a thing on TV the other day. We watched some of these hospital things. I kind of like Code Black. I mean, it's kind of iffy. But they had a thing on there this week, a storyline about a young girl who most of her life has had pain. She always had pains. Her knee hurt, her head hurt, her neck hurt. And her mother brought her to psychiatrists and doctors for many years, and nobody came up with any cause. Interestingly, when they did some psychological work on her and other kinds of tests, they found out, and this is certainly a diagnosis that is true, she had a psychological, neurological condition that felt the pain wherever it was in the room around her. She felt it. And so when her mother thought that she was really a problem child, she was really feeling her mother's pain. If her mother had a headache, she had a headache. If her mother had a backache or was angry or whatever, she felt those things. And so she was always, you can imagine, if you're surrounded by people, how many different feelings this kid must have had. When they finally isolated it, the awareness on the mother's half, I think, was astounding. Because she said, all her life, I have seen her as a troubled kid. And I never once understood that it was possible that she wasn't faking it, looking for sympathy. That's an extreme example of empathy, if you will. But unless, brothers and sisters, we can have empathy for the people around us, and the words are simple, and we could list off a whole bunch. We could put pictures on the wall for whom we would probably want to have empathy, but for whom we are skeptical. The challenges we face today, brothers and sisters, as a nation is one thing, but as individuals, every day somebody will touch our lives, unless we're hermits. Any hermits here? Any cave dwellers? We are mixing with people all the time. Every day there is an opportunity for us to hear these words. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. The three together, I think, define the ideal person. We are all somewhere in there. All of us are in the process. All of us between the perfect example and a total lost case, we're in there. And I think our nation and the circumstances of our day, with all of its ups and downs, and rights and wrongs, and our call to the liturgy this morning, God is calling us to see what we can do, beginning with ourselves, about becoming people of kindness and justice and humility. That's who Jesus was. As followers, I think that's who we are called to be. It's just a thought. And go Pats. Amen.